We are back with another episode of the MLS Aces podcast. This is your host, Tom Sweezy, and I am joined by a recent MLS Cup champion. I have to congratulate him, Derek Etienne Jr. Derek, congratulations on the MLS Cup. I know, like, had to have been a big moment, big game for you. How's the offseason starting off for you with that?
It's a little weird because trying to, you know, to make sure I maintain fitness, but not really, you know, certain on what's going on with the pandemic and all that. So it's kind of weird trying to get ready, hoping that there's going to be a season though. But for the most part, it's been fun. Got to celebrate a little bit, but been back in the gym and on the field, just trying to stay sharp and get ready for the next year.
I mean, that's an awesome point. So like the beginning of last year had to have been crazy as hell, right? Like you went from the season starting to, okay, it's a pandemic, to, okay, this MLS back tournament, everyone, let's go to a bubble. Then you guys have somewhat of a regular season. Then you guys make an absolute run in these playoffs, and now you're back on a high of being an MLS Cup champion. But now it's like, okay, let's get focused then. Let's figure out things for what next season is going to possibly look like. On a mental toll, that has to be tough, and I'm not. It's tough on my brain, and I'm not even the one going through it. What's the mentality had to be like for you and other guys in the locker room to really kind of, I guess, push yourselves and get you through last season and this off season?
I mean, it was definitely not ideal. But everyone is, and especially in our team, are a bunch of competitors, and it was kind of, you know, we got a couple, I think we played two games before the shutdown, I believe. We played New York City and Seattle and got a win and a tie. So we were really kind of like floating on a high, you know. And then, of course, with the break, I think every single player understood that, you know, it's kind of a little break. But then also you still got to keep yourself in shape and keep yourself ready for whenever the season might have started again. I'm going to be honest. I was real skeptical about it because, you know, just watching all the numbers and things like that skyrocket like that. And I really thought that the season wasn't going to be restarted because I just didn't think there could be a way that, you know, we could keep everyone safe. But then once it started to calm down and then seeing how the other leagues around the world and like I think the NWSL did and were able to maintain that, I think that it my skepticism went away. So I think that it was just important that, you know, guys understood that the goal was always winning a championship, and once the season came back around, that goal was still in place and we went on a fire run. And then with MLS's back, we were disappointed not to win that, but we still understood that there was something bigger at hand, and we were able to solidify that.
And look, at the end of the day, you guys raised the big trophy at the end of the year, so I mean,
exactly,
that has to be the great feeling. But I mean, the worry, like, you know, I get it. Like, we discussed it on this podcast plenty of times, you know, kind of the mentality of the fan base, the mentality of the players, mentality of staff members, ownership groups, whatever it may be. You know, the skepticism, I can't even say it either, the skepticism,
yeah.
It's fair to be there. And, you know, this is something we've never experienced before. So, I mean, that's completely, completely fair. But, I mean, like I said, you ended the season on a complete high note. And for you, you've been able to be a part of a lot of award-winning seasons. You've won a USL Cup. You've won a Supporter Shield. Now you won an MLS Cup. How did this win feel any different from the Supporter Shield, from the USL Cup, whatever it may be with that?
I feel like the USL Cup was difficult because was like different because I was an MLS player, but still being able to get games and meaningful games and to win was great. It was a great group of guys. But then Supporter Shield, you know, that one was different because no one really cares per se about Supporter Shield. Everyone will say like, yeah, well, it's not a real trophy, but in Europe, if you're the best team in the league, you win everything. So I took pride in that from that aspect. But
for sure,
MLS Cup was definitely the biggest because I've My dad, it's something that, you know, I'm a competitive guy, and me and my dad are very competitive. And after we won Supporters Shield, he looked at me and said, well, you gotta win MLS Cup. So to be able to just cross that off the list and to be able to score in the final was amazing. So I probably put MLS Cup up there at the top, because it's just, you know, 5 years of being an MLS player and being able to finally get that trophy and get that medal and get a ring is something that we all want to accomplish. So I put MLS Cup.
And look, CONCACAF Champions League next. That's it. You know, that you got
trophies,
that's next. I mean, you mentioned it, right? You scored in this MLS Cup final. You were the only one to not name Lucas Elorrion to score in this game. When Lucas found you on the outside of the box and the ball kind of just came to your feet, what was the mentality? Like, were you just like, oh, like this is going in the back of the net? Or were you just like, what were you thinking in that moment?
I was just hoping that he can get the pass off, because like when he took his touch, I raised my hands and I was calling for it. And when he cut it, I was like, okay, he's going to play it now. When he played it to me, I knew get it on target and it's a goal. And then I knew once it left my foot, I felt like I struck it well and I knew it was a goal. So I when it left my foot, I was thinking cash.
I love it. That's a mentality right there, man.
I love that.
So we've talked about it a little bit, and you know, like I said, you were able to lift two trophies within the New York Red Bull organization, right? Come out of a long line of New York Red Bull products. And I'm going to call you out a little bit here, because on Instagram, I made a post recently about the FC Dallas Academy and how I personally think they have the best academy in North America. Tell me why. Challenge me right now. Tell me why, and tell the listeners of this podcast why Red Bulls have the best academy in North America. Because that was your vote.
Yeah. I mean, I guess mostly is probably just me being biased. For the most part, but yeah, okay. I mean, I'm just thinking about all the players that I've come throughout the academy with, and just thinking about, you know, the names and high profile names, you know, playing with Tyler, playing with Alex as a pro, Sean Davis, Brandon Allen as a pro, Arun Basulovic as a pro, just Armando Miazga, Juan Agudelo is in there. And then there's some guys who ended up going pro, who didn't sign with Red Bull. You got Adam Najim, who I think is one of the best players I've played with throughout my academy years. There's so many. I'm just thinking about my U16 team that won against. Actually, we beat Dallas in the playoffs, and we ended up winning the national championship. I'm just thinking about the times when I played Dallas in the academy. I don't think I have any losses against them. So that also definitely puts a large part into it. But no, I think they're, you know, a great organization in that. I think it's always competitive when we played them, and we respected them as, you know, one of the top teams. But I'm always going to put Red Bull up there for the standouts with the homegrowns.
I mean, look, that's fair. Like, you have me there. Like, you know, experience, you have it. I'll give that to you. I'll concede there. But you obviously, you know, you still have relationships with these guys, right? You listed off so many guys that you grew up with, you played in the academy with, you developed with, whatever it may be. You still have to have relationships with guys over in Europe, like Tyler, like Matt, whatever it may be with that. But do, like, you talk to them about aspirations of going to Europe? You know, I feel like it's a commonly asked question on a podcast related to North American soccer, but you see the success that they're having, and you see success that other, like, you know, people coming out of Major League Soccer going to Europe are having. Is that like where your mind is, or are you like strictly focused on like, how can I up my game for the next season type of deal?
I mean, it's obviously an aspiration. Mm-hmm. And definitely, I mean, Tyler was one of my closest friends, especially at Red Bull, but just in general. And, you know, we keep in touch constantly. And yeah, like, he always makes the joke, hey, bro, when you're gonna make that jump and get over here. But yeah, I definitely have aspirations to go. And for me, it's just, I feel like, you know, just continuing to round out my game and continuing to get better. It's only a matter of time before I go. But I try to focus on, you know, what's in front of me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you don't want to be, you know, pitch, have your heads in the clouds and you're missing what things that's in front of you. And obviously the better I play here and the more playing time and the better I become, the teams in Europe will call. So definitely do have aspirations to get to Europe. I'm hopeful that it's very soon. As always, I know I just try to keep myself, you know, grounded and prove myself every single day at my club.
Look, and again, scoring an MLS Cup is definitely a positive to
yeah, get. Definitely.
But I completely understand where your head's at. I think that's a very mature and very, like, you know, just honestly hardworking way, and the end result's going to come for you, and it 100% is. But I want to transition back over to the academy for a second. And one of your fellow academy members and a former teammate of yours, and Evan Lauro, came on mm-hmm. this podcast a few weeks ago. Talk a little bit about you, because we were previewing MLS Cup, whatever it may be. And he told me, you know, he's known you for a while now. He's known you since you guys were pretty much kids. And he also said that, you know, awesome stuff about you, like you were the best, everything like that. But I asked him if you loved or you hated the Haitian Messi nickname. He said that you loved it, but he hates it. I'm thinking he's just a hater, but do you like the nickname?
I mean, I like it. Like, I'm glad that the fans felt that, you know, I was the Haitian Messi and I can, you know, play like Messi. But obviously, you know, I wouldn't go out there and be like, yeah, hey, like, if I'm meeting new teammates, hey, I'm Derek, but, you know, they call me Haitian Messi. Like, nah, it's definitely, you know, a lot to live up to. So, I mean, I'm grateful for it, but I'm never going to sit there and really, you know, hang my hat on that. You know what I mean?
So if someone calls you it, it's okay, but you're never going to refer to yourself as it.
Exactly.
Well, again, I thought he was just being a hater. I called him the Stegen. And I don't know if he liked it, but but I mean, the Haitian Messi, right? You've got some experience playing at a high level with the Haitian national team, and that 2019 Gold Cup was something that, like, I was really, like, it was awesome to watch the run that you guys made, and, you know, you being in the middle of it, like, I always like rooting for an MLS team, an MLS player, guys who are playing in North America, and, you know, you guys have a lot of them within the Haitian national team. You guys were able to go on, beat Bermuda, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, upset Canada, and then that semifinal against Mexico. I mean, like, you guys pushed Mexico to the absolute limit, which no one picked you guys to do that, but
yeah.
That mentality in that locker room, how was that, that you guys were, like, able to go to the absolute, not go to, but you guys were able to push the absolute biggest teams in CONCACAF to the break in that tournament?
Yeah, I think we are, like, I guess some people would call it arrogant, some people will call it proud, but in the locker room, we knew how good of a team we were,
mm-hmm.
and we had a chip on our shoulder. We felt that, you know, we're a top team in CONCACAF, and people kind of just, you know, thought that it was going to be, oh, Costa Rica was going to run away with the group and things like that. So we took that person, like the Michael Jordan means, but, like, we actually did take that personal. And then on top of that, we had, you know, we had a lot of pride for our country, and we understand the ramifications of what it is when the national team is playing. I mean, it's not the biggest country, but when soccer is being played, the whole country stops, and that's what is on everyone's mind. So for us, you know, to take their minds off of what's going on down there, and, you know, the poverty and some of the bad things that are exactly going down there, we wanted to make sure that any possible chance we got to make them happy and make them proud to do that. And to be honest, in the locker room, you know, a lot of us were disappointed with the way the Mexico game went, because we felt that, you know, we could have pushed the game more. We felt like, you know, we showed against Costa Rica that we can, you know, we can be a top team, and people were still counting us out. Then we went against Canada, and, you know, we gave up some goals, but then we were able to come back and get the win. And then against Mexico, I think it was Mika Cantave hit the crossbar in the last dying minutes of the game, half an inch lower. That's top corner. We're going to PKs, but I mean, that's how it is. But, well, a lot of us were, we have a dog mentality, and we don't, we don't take things for granted. We don't take things light. And I think I said it. We respect everyone, but we don't fear anybody. Yeah. I think that was big for our mentality. And we knew that we could win the group. We felt like we could beat Canada. And then once we get to Mexico, we understand how good of a team they are. So we have to be to play well. And, you know, we gave up a PK, and that ultimately cost us. But we understood where we could go, and we at least reached where we felt that we should at least make. And now the goal for the next one is to get over that hump.
Look, and I understand the disappointment for sure. Like, that's the competitor in you and your team. I completely understand that. But you guys made an absolute statement, and that was awesome to see. And you know, it's something that, like you said, you can build off of for next time and for the next week competition, because I think with the state of where CONCACAF is right now, you guys have a legitimate shot to really make a statement, push for being in the top of CONCACAF and make some history with this national team and for a country that you said, you know, really supports its soccer team. And when the soccer team plays, like, you know, like you said, they come out, they watch, and that's awesome. And that's, you know, what we, that's how we want to grow soccer in the region. I personally.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
So one guy I want to ask you about within the Haitian national team is Ronaldo Damas. Is it Damas? Mm-hmm.
Damas.
Okay, thank you. So Ronaldo Damas, he stud with North Texas SC in USL League One. He just recently got the move to Orange County in USL Championship. I'm a huge, like, North American U.S. soccer nerd. I've been able to watch a lot within USL League One. To me, he seemed like a special kid. Like, he seems so talented. Do you see him, like, succeeding at the USL Championship level? I know that Orange County has their connection with Rangers in Scotland. Do you see that being a possible future for this kid? Because I think he's very special.
Yeah, I think he's extremely talented. He was in the national team. Like, he's been in the national team since I've been there. The national team has really done a good job with, you know, trying to go young and get young players. And, you know, when he comes there, he has days when he stands out and he's one of the top players in training. He has days when he's standing out and being the top player in a scrimmage. But, you know, I think for him, it's just being a young player and just continuing to stay consistent. He was able to do that and with in the USL League One. And now being in the championship, just how quickly he adapts to that, I think is going to be important, because I do think he's a talented player, and definitely I can see him playing in Europe. He's fast. He can finish. He has grit. He has fight to him, a little bite to him. He has skill. So there's a lot of things about his game that can definitely see translating to Europe. But just hopefully he gets the opportunity to go out there and prove himself and then capitalizes on his chances. Yeah. He'll be fine.
And have him also grow with the Haitian national team, because I'm rooting for you guys. Like, I want to see you guys succeed so bad. I've been pushing for like 3 years now. But no, it's awesome to hear. And another awesome thing that kind of really came out of the 2020 season, and not that what caused it was awesome, but really the Black Players for Change within Major League Soccer, what you guys did to start the MLS's Back tournament and kind of the support that came out of that, I think was fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything planned to continue into 2021 and really kind of keep on honing in on the cause, really?
Yeah, there's meetings with, you know, the player representatives, you know, I believe weekly. So there's definitely things being put into place. I don't want to speak on it because I know I'm not, you know, really, I'm not really the person who should be speaking on it, because I'm not really, you know, that knowledgeable on exactly what it is that's happening. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there's definitely things that we're trying to do. You know, there's been some fields built. I think Red Bull helped with one. So like, there's just a lot of things. They've been reaching out, asking about, you know, the guys' communities that they live in, and if there's anything being done, you know, that they would definitely like to get involved in. So, you know, you have that coming up. But I think 2021 is going to be very big, you know, to, I think that, because we got such a great reception and so many people, you know, agreed and found and I felt came together to see, you know, the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Just because it's not being talked about anymore, I think it's very important that we maintain the energy that we put into it and all that, because I think for me at least, I felt that some of it, I mean, I was happy that it was up and it was always being posted and up there, but some people were doing it for a trend, and mm-hmm. we don't want to seem like, you know, we're just doing it for the trend and stuff, because at the end of the day, you know, this is a problem that needs to be dealt with and needs to be handled, and we're just trying to do something so that, you know, we might not see the change, but the next generation can be able to see the change.
You know, I agree with that. It's all about just starting the conversation for just, you know, equality and just a human being. At the end of the day, it's like, you know, in my brain, it's like, God damn it, why can't everyone just see the see that the same way? But, you know, it's insane. But honestly, what you guys did in 2020, the whole coalition was fantastic. The message, the support out there was fantastic. And like you said, you don't want to see people, and I'm not saying you guys, I'm saying just in general, you don't want to see, just because if the conversation is dying down a little bit, you don't want to see people falling off. You want to just keep the conversation consistent. And I completely understand that.
Thank you.
I want to kind of transition over back a little bit into soccer, but into a former teammate of yours, Luis Robles. He announced his retirement a few days ago from professional soccer. Just quickly, from someone who's shared a locker room with the Iron Man, like, what is Luis Robles' impact on professional soccer? I guess I don't want to say North America, because I think that's a general just kind of statement, but I mean, especially with the New York Red Bull organization, like, what did he mean to the Red Bulls when he was on that streak and he was the captain and he was along with Dax and you guys and, you know, everyone within that locker room?
Yeah, I mean, the first word you think of when that comes to mind when Luis is mentioned is leader, and he was part of the leadership council that, you know, when Jesse arrived, started, I think it was him, Lloyd, Sasha, Dax, BWP, and Luis, I think were the guys. And, you know, he was always that calm voice in the locker room, very well spoken, very intellectual. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, speaking to him about things on and off the field was fine. Personally, I felt close to him because, you know, there were a group of Christians on the team that before the game we would pray, we would have Bible studies, okay. And stuff like that. So, you know, him being a man of God, you know, also, you know, you saw the way, you know, to live, and it was just very, very, I was happy to, you know, and I'm glad I was able to call him a teammate, because he meant a lot to the organization. Whenever there was player union things, he was very involved. He's very, very keen on feeling that, you know, it's his job as someone who's come from Europe, and, you know, not going to say that, you know, one day MLS will be at Europe's level, because, you know, we have some way to go, but try to implement some of the things that he's learned out there and bring it here on how, you know, the players should be treated and stuff like that. He was very big at that. And then, you know, with the team, he was always willing to set up an event for the team and, you know, get the players together and united. So he was very big from that aspect. But yeah, he was an amazing leader, and I think it meant a lot to him to for the Iron Man. And then I felt like, you know, it was just great for him to be the captain, to lift the third supporter shield at Red Bull Arena and to break the records. And for him, I felt like, you know, it was big. Unfortunately, we weren't able to bring a MLS Cup to New York, and he wasn't able to get one. But I don't think that's going to tarnish the man that he was or the player that he was, because I think he was an excellent man and a fantastic player.
I mean, coming from an outsider's point of view, he seemed like a guy who was, like, soft-spoken, but when he spoke, someone listened. Like, does that...
Exactly.
Like, but on a soccer field, like, whenever I'm watching a game, so, like, I'm personally a New York City FC fan. I know, you know, the whole connection with Red Bull there. Maybe that's why I didn't pick Red Bull for the best academy. But
definitely why.
But, you know, whenever I'm watching, like, you know, a Hudson River Derby or even just a Red Bull game in general, just because, you know, they're on TV in the area, Like, Luis Robles, again, seemed very quiet, but on the field, that dude had, like, pipes. You could hear him screaming through
Yeah,
broadcast. Like,
definitely.
that has to be intimidating when the quiet guy is, like, just yelling.
I wouldn't say it was intimidating, because I mean, he like flips the. It's like he almost flips the switch when he steps on the field, and you hear the what is it I want to say? Like, you can hear just the confidence and the poise when he's speaking. That you're like, okay, you're. And then it's I think one of the funniest ones was, I think Alex, I think it was 3 years ago, I think. And when we were playing Atlanta, and Alex is getting some water, and he's just not paying attention for a set piece. And you just hear Louis saying, now is not the effing time, Alex. And it's just like, that's
him. That's him.
It's, oh, yeah, that's him. Like, he's it, off the field. Hey, Alex, man, can you pay attention, please? But on the field, you know, the competitor comes out, and he's no holds barred. So I was used to it just to see him, you know, his to be able to play in that many games, you know, it's incredible. And then you see the way he trains. He's always training. Day after the game, he's out there with the goalkeepers training. He's watching training. It was just, you know, a pleasure. And it was almost a way to someone you can mirror almost off the field, and how to act and how to interact with the younger players.
I absolutely love that. Just picturing him screaming at Alex Mawile is... All right, I got two more questions for you, and I won't hold up your night too much longer, Derek. But I got to talk about modern-day time, present-day time with the Columbus Crew. You guys gone into this offseason, and the Crew are just seeming to pick up every single piece of talent, reuniting you with former teammate Bradley Wright Phillips, bringing in the hot boy Kevin Molino. Just all the talent seems to just be flocking to Columbus, Ohio. What does this look like? You know, you've been on the team, you won with the team, now you see this talent coming in. Does this get you guys like pumped up for a potential, you know, obviously COVID pending, but a potential CONCACAF Champions League run, running this back for next season, maybe a supporter shield in 2021? Like, what is this kind of your like a mentality of a player who's already on the team kind of heading into next year?
I mean, we haven't really talked about it as a team, but of course we've seen the signings and stuff like that. But for me personally, I probably will feel the same way with my teammates, that we want to run it back. That's off rip. We made it to the final. We had COVID cases, you know, with guys. I got COVID after the Red Bull game, and DS stepped up. Then Darlington and Pedro got COVID, and Aiden stepped up, and I was able to come back. So like, we understand that we have a quality team, and then to be able to add, you know, a player like another forward like Bradley Wright Phillips, and then another player like Kevin Molino, I think that just improves us. Especially we were a good goal scoring team, but adding those two guys, you probably add to yourself another 15 goals, and then we get back Vito, another guy who can help solidify us in the defense that was already strong. And then, you know, just having Darlington and Artur coming back, and then, you know, Aiden, another year of experience with Aiden and Sebastian. I think that, you know, we have what it takes to make these type of runs. The competitor to me wants to be the first MLS team to win CONCACAF. So we'll see how that goes. But then also a competitor, I want to win all trophies that I can. So if we have Open Cup this year, that's winning Open Cup, getting the shield, all that.
I think, you know, before you head over to Europe, and it's going to happen sooner rather than later, win the CCL, win a U.S. Open Cup, say you've won every trophy within North America right now, and then you can move over. You completed it here, you won, you got 100%, now let's move over. I think that's
exactly. that would be great, because right now I'm chasing Darlington, leading the way. The only thing he needs is that Champions League, and Darlington's got it. So as long as he's here, we have a good chance.
I love it. I love it. All right, Derek, I got one last question for you, and I want to thank you for taking, you know, 30 minutes out of your day to really talk to me about all of this, because this has been an awesome conversation. But last question, a little fun. I want you to power rank these four former teammates on how likely you'd pick them to back you up in a fight. You got Tyler Adams, Alex Mawile, Kendall Waston, and Felipe.
Oh, That's easy but difficult. It's between Kendall Watson and Tyler. I'll probably choose Tyler because Tyler like did karate and like UFC. So like,
damn,
I know he's rumbling. So yeah, I'm gonna choose Tyler.
Okay, that's I like it. I mean, look, I was thinking Kendall because the guy's like 6'5".
Yeah, yeah. I would probably, if you didn't say Tyler, I would definitely choose Kendall. But knowing that Tyler can choke somebody out real quick, I'm definitely gonna choose him.
I love it. It's good to know for future U.S. men.
Yeah, that's the guy I'm not gonna talk to. No one knows deep there.
I love it. I love it. Okay, everyone. Thank you, Derek. I really appreciate sitting down talking with me for 30 minutes. It's been an awesome conversation, man. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Glad I was finally able to get on the show.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye, man.
All right.